I think let's get into it. So welcome to a special
welcome
episode.
To the day of days.
The
this
day
is
of
the
days.
Day of days. I'm so excited.
See, the problem with all this is that I don't know what's a reference. So everybody's saying shit around
that's
me.
That's more
like,
of a religious thing, I was saying. That's spiritual. Yeah, we have been quoting a lot around you, though. And this is what it must feel like to be, at any point in our lives, either one of our girlfriends or partners, Kelly, because I feel like we quote around stuff, or even our friends.
They just never get, they never quite click with what we're talking about. Yeah,
sure. It's here, though. This is, I'm very nervous. I'm very excited.
Oh, you're nervous.
This is truly... For you guys who've listened to a past podcast, you know, Kelly gave me a gift for my 40th birthday, which has been a little while since then, that
he
would
months.
Watch the Lord of the Rings trilogy with me that I've been asking for him to do now for years.
Yeah.
And it truly is. It's the best gift, man. I'm so excited.
Well, happy birthday.
That this is happening.
In December.
Thank you. Yeah.
We
and this
are...
film starts off with a birthday or the first
does
one.
Does it?
So yeah,
shit.
You're going to enjoy that too.
Look at this that.
Is, it all lines up. It's all perfect.
I also heard that these movies originally came out around the holidays. Is that true also?
That's the other thing that I was going to say. It's so nice that we're recording this now. We can put this thing out, this little mini-sode, as a little holiday gift, because this really was, my family would always go to a movie on Christmas Day.
Sure. We most of the time had that tradition.
But there
also.
Was a 3-year stretch, and I think a lot of people around my age, around our age really, will remember this, where the movie you were going to see each year at Christmas for 3 consecutive years, it became such a tradition, was the Lord of the Rings movie that came out that
year.
That's
very cool.
And it
that's
was a big,
cool.
huge thing, and it was awesome. And
man,
it was
where was I? Oh, yeah, playing songs on my guitar.
that's not a Lord of the Rings reference, but that is that thing you do reference, and that's a good
where
movie
was
as
I?
Well. Not nearly as long as this one. Well, this is big.
We're
this
prepared big. For a long day here at the house. I do have to shout out two of my best friends who have come down, in addition to Patrick coming across town, friends that have come down from San Francisco area just for this movie day, which is wild. They kind of just... said this is more important than everything else.
Sure.
They have kids at home.
Sure. Yeah. a lot of people would call this irresponsible, but we think that it's fun.
I think I would call it
and I you say friends. I like to think of them as podcast fans, but friends as well.
Well, they're
friends
also well. Brothers.
We're all part of a fellowship.
We're all brothers, yeah.
It's a fellowship.
So Tom and Nico from the Bay Area, and you know, one of them, Tom, I knew he was coming. I picked him up last night at the airport.
Sure.
And this was planned, but Nico definitely not. That was a surprise yesterday. He showed up at my door, and I kind of went, yeah.
That this tracks.
Yep.
Yeah.
That I wasn't really surprised. I kind of thought that might happen, and sure enough, here we all are.
Can you imagine how long it would have taken if they had walked the whole way?
I mean, I guess that's a reference. Yeah. At this point.
Oh, I can't wait till you understand what I'm saying.
Well, there's lots of Lord of the Rings stuff around. My house has been inundated by all these super fans. And so Patrick has brought over a
Sting, Bilbo's sword, passed down to Frodo.
It's very
Baggins,
nice.
As you'll know.
Is it heavy?
It's a real, I mean, it's a replica, obviously, but it's made of actual sword things. It's not just a plastic deal. So feel free, you can hold that if you like. There's also the One Ring that I brought. Both of these
this is nice.
Gifts of my lovely lady, partner, betrothed, Jessica Valdez, who is not here today, but is here with us in spirit. I am very excited for you, Kelly. And we're going to pop in and out between movies and throughout this journey that we're having today. So Kelly's opinions will undoubtedly be interesting to hear as we go. And I'm sure he's going to get more excited with each installment.
My goal is to leave like strong feelings, meaning thoughts that I spend a while forming about the movies.
Sure.
And also questions, because undoubtedly there's going to be questions about all kinds of things in this world.
Right,
I think I'm
going
to try to save those for the podcast rather than ask you guys throughout the movie.
Yeah, and this is an interesting thing you bring up. So just real quickly, I know we got a lot to do here, but I thought and thought, I was sitting up late last night and I was thinking, what should I tell Kelly? This is a huge literary world that they built these movies out of. And even though the movies are 9 to 12 and a half hours, however long you want to do it, depending on the extended takes, whatever it is, there's a lot. There's an incredible, it's an entire history, like a world history.
Right.
And I thought about, you know, do I get into like the Valar and the Maiar and telling Kelly all about like the histories and how things formed and all this other stuff. But ultimately, like we've talked about so many times, I believe a good film or great film needs to stand on its own.
Yeah.
I think you need to be able to go in not knowing anything, watch the movie, it completely work for you. And then if you want to explore later, or you have questions later, which obviously I'm happy to answer. I'm sure Tom also probably could and Nick. You know, that's great. And that will enrich it even more. But I didn't want to get into that, even though I could talk for hours. I think that's
responsible of you. And I also, Tom definitely didn't care one way or the other, but Nick was visibly disappointed last night when I said we were watching the theatrical versions. And I quickly explained to him why. You know, I was like, first, this is Patrick's choice. I don't know anything about this. But second, his logic of they're shorter, but also the extended version. Yeah, right. The extended versions aren't adding anything that's significant for me, a non-fan.
Yeah.
So why would you do that? Because it would add over 3 hours to our day, meaning a whole other 3 hour movie. The runtime of these theatrical versions are already 3 hours, 3 hours, and 3 hours and 20 minutes.
Right.
And so it'll be a whole ass day already. And we want to have some breathing
and
room.
And just to quickly defend that choice, to me, we experienced them. All of us audience members, whether we read the book or delved into the Silmarillion or whatever, in the theater, and these were the cuts.
That's so exactly right.
I just thought this is the way to do it. I personally, as a fan who wants more, I prefer the extendeds of Fellowship and Two Towers for sure. We can get into Return of the King a little bit. But I just thought, let's do it the way we first experienced it. Now you'll first experience it. I hope it's as magical for you as it was for us. And I will, one last thing I just want to mention, and then if you want to go to anything else, we can. Otherwise, we'll kick off this first one. When I was a kid, and you know this already, but Star Wars was really the cinematic universe that grabbed me, right? That was my first.
Sure.
And my dad was reading me at the time Lord of the Rings when I was a kid. Yeah. So that was the literary work. And Star Wars was so important to me. And I remember thinking, wow, they already made Star Wars. You know what I mean? Like, I can't make that. And for years as a kid, I just assumed, you know, back before doubt and anything comes into the way and you're like, I'll just do this. I always thought, I will make these movies. When I get up, this will be my Star Wars.
Yep.
And I wanted to create my own mythology and world building and heroes and stuff like that. And I remember being like, oh God, I don't know if you can do both. You know what I mean? Like Lord of the Rings and this. And then when these came out, as nervous as I was, when I left Fellowship, I remember, this is so pretentious, but like breathing a sigh of relief and being like, ah, one less thing I have to do before I die. This was perfect.
No, that's a good feeling, especially nowadays with everything that's getting made from other IP.
I rarely feel that way anymore.
We really do take a chance every time we go into a movie or watch a thing because they're ruining stuff left and right out there.
And that's kind of my point for Peter Jackson. You know, Star Wars, I was 5 or 6 when I saw.
Yeah.
And I remember that feeling of just being completely like it blew up my brain.
Sure.
And changing everything for me. And Lord of the Rings, though, had all this anticipation. This was for me 19 years in the making. Right. You're waiting. You've got expectations. It shouldn't work. Right. It should have never worked. And I just from the opening prologue, which we'll get to here in just a minute, I remember being like, holy shit, like this is going to be better than I thought. And you've got all these formatted thoughts in your head and for so many things to line up. And this is the other thing I will say is not that I expect you to go read the books after this, but you know, the books are this incredible story, but this to me, you could do a truer adaptation to the books, like right for the fans. If they ever did a series, which they've talked about, maybe they'll do that, right? Put more in, not cut stuff, not change stuff. But these to me are the most perfect adaptation for the masses. If you're going to do a crowd pleaser, if you're going to turn this mythology and kind of shape it in a way that it's going to be like a Star Wars or whatever else you want to say, Marvel Cinematic Universe, whatever, you know, hero's tale that you want to talk about, this to me is just such a perfect adaptation for that purpose for everybody, for fans and non-fans alike. I think it dials in and it fits right into that box so well. That's enough of me drowning on because we got a lot to do.
Yeah.
If you've got anything else to add, you can, but I'll go all day.
No, I know. I wouldn't even know what to add. But we're excited for a whole day of this and we're going to come back to you in a couple of seconds. And for us, 3 hours.
Evil is stirring in Mordor. The ring has awoken. it's heard its master's call.
All right, we're back, Patrick.
So I have obviously a lot of thoughts.
You have a lot of thoughts, but before we even talk about the movie, can we just do a quick recap of everything that we've ate and drank today so far?
Ooh.
So when we got here at 8 a.m., Lori made a full breakfast. Big
shout out to Lori.
Yeah, thank you, baby. Huge spread. And then, so it was very... I don't know, Hobbity, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and
very
then
Hobbity.
We transitioned very quickly after recording our first segment into multiple Irish coffees made Buena Vista style.
That might be my favorite so far, honestly.
Thanks, Nick and Tom.
That was a
and
wonderful then, way to start the day.
Mostly Nick, yeah. And then moving from that into what was next?
We had
some beer. We had a total wine delivery.
We had strawberry...
Pocky, yeah.
Pocky.
I didn't have any, but
I
sure.
Did. Yeah, I it. Did, yeah.
And then we went into a beer from Total Wine that
was
a Belgian ale.
Was that the honey beer?
No, you're right. We had mead.
That was delicious.
We then had mead before
Everything's
the beer.
Everything's been good. It is like
Hobbiton. In Prancing Pony cups. Thanks,
Everything's
babe.
Been...
And then we went into a beer, and now we're on our next beer, and we're only one out of three movies in.
Yeah,
so
we're
that's really and then we smoked weed
ever.
Out of the Gandalf pipe.
Tom brought his Gandalf pipe,
yeah,
peace pipe, as I would say.
So I just felt like it's important to give context for all of the things that we've had.
I've had tears in my eyes. I've had chills in my bones.
Okay,
but.
But
before,
yeah, let's talk
before
about the
I
movie.
Launch into, let's just get your, you know how I feel about this. So
yeah, right.
Your initial,
I guess we are here
thoughts,
for my,
your initial immediate thoughts at finishing the Fellowship of the Ring.
It's an extremely well made and well told story. And I know what you mean. And all of you guys mean when we've talked about the, kind of the lack of quality in other types of fantasy content. Maybe not lack of quality,
no,
but just
yeah,
different. There's a difference.
It becomes glaringly apparent
and,
when you see something.
And
like
I
this.
Think this is a perfect storm of like Peter Jackson being the right person at the right time and like perfect casting. That's something that I see in a lot of movies nowadays where I'm like, these casting directors are doing something wrong or they haven't learned the trade the way that other people
yeah.
have. And then you watch something like this and you're just like, this is the most perfect group of people that have ever been put
when
on
you
screen
do it
together.
Right. You're 50% of the way there. Like,
that's what I'm
it's
saying.
It's just like picking the right country.
And then when you do it wrong,
yeah,
you can do everything else.
You're
perfectly
starting
50% starting behind. Right.
Yeah, it's true.
So it's true. That's my big takeaway. Other than the enormous scope of the movie is really, in the practical effects and the expert direction and cinematography for the time. And so I think if nothing else, I'm really just appreciating the quality of it. I do know that throughout the watching of this movie and the next two coming up, you guys are talking a lot about the lore and the background and all of that. And I don't think that will ever be me, unfortunately.
Sure. No, of course. That's
but great appreciation
and
for the storytelling.
I intended not to do that, but it's just impossible when you love it this much. Well, you know, you're like, oh, reference to Morgoth there.
And that's an interesting thing because I really tried to, my first reaction was, this isn't me. I don't think I'll delve into this lore.
Sure.
But then I'm like, except that, when you watch something enough, I guess, like what if I watched Rings of Power? Would I be more interested?
Right.
I don't know.
Might be less interested. You never know.
For sure. But then I started comparing it to something like Star Trek, where you can't help but kind of be interested in the nonsense stuff that's off screen.
Sure. Sure.
Again, yeah, I don't think it'll be me, but.
And listen, here's the thing.
Great
though.
Appreciation.
Here's the
for,
thing, though, right? Like I've delved into, you know, the mythology that Tolkien created and Silmarillion and all this other stuff. To me, you don't have to do all that to kind of recognize, you know, if I lean into you and I'm like, hey, everything Gandalf just said there is a reference to that, right? The world, you can still be aware of the world building. It's the same thing with Star Trek, right? You don't have to read all the manuals and books to know.
Yeah.
But I feel like you can just see it and it's obvious that this is all based. They're not just throwing out a word they made up.
Yeah,
there is a history that was created there, thought out. You know, there's a past. There's, you know, this was always kind of my argument with the Star Wars prequels.
Yeah,
which was that, you know, when this thing has kind of grown in your mind and it's grown with the fans for this many years and it's perfect in everybody's head.
Yeah,
sometimes backstory is so good at serving the regular story, but then if you actually go back and do it and create it, Sometimes it doesn't, you know, maybe live up to what our imaginations do. But in this one, even if you don't delve into it, it's going to take root in your mind. You know what I mean? And kind of, I don't know. I think
that's, well, because the care is there regardless of whether you get into it or not.
Right.
And I think that's what sticks out for me is the kind of enormous follow through on quality in this franchise. And I obviously haven't read the books, but it's apparent that the author was a person of great intelligence, but also like care about every little thing. And that's just not the case with a lot of franchises. You could even say that it's not the case necessarily with Star Wars and how implemented. It's not the case. It's certainly not the case with virtually all media nowadays.
I love Star Wars as much as anything.
Things get written
not.
And they kind of are just whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, what is a more thought out world than this? There isn't one
because this was one man's life's work.
Yeah,
and
right.
This was published when he was in his
50s. It's actually impressive that it is just one life, because it's like it feels like many lifetimes of artists.
And look, I don't want to get so nerdy, and I don't want to get so deep into this, but I mean, this is, you know, a person who spent their lifetime, did not finish, right? They finished Lord of the Rings, but literally when they asked him what his idea of heaven was, he said it's sitting under a tree, knowing that you in the shade, knowing that you finished, like everything that was in your mind that you wanted to achieve and give to people.
Yeah, right.
You actually got there to the finish line, because he knew he was never going to finish. And I think that's kind of a beautiful thought, kind of a sad thought, but kind of a beautiful thought. One other thing I wanted to share though, when I went and saw this, it was my senior year of high school in the theaters. I remember very specifically, I went with, there was two friends, my friend Bo and his sister Mary. Bo was a big fan of the book, same as me. My dad was there, big fan of the guy, read me the books.
Yeah, right.
And then my girlfriend, who didn't know anything about it. And we all went and we watched it together as the five of us. And as we got to the moment that you just witnessed of Sam and Frodo walking down into, descending down into Mordor to deal with everything they're about to deal with, and it faded to black, there was not a sound in the theater. I mean, everyone was just had been on this ride. It was an incredible thing. And Mary, my friend's sister down, my good friend as well, down the aisle or down the row, all you heard was her go, "What?" Because no one had explained to her that this was part of a larger story.
Right.
And also, if you think about it now, movies broken into two, final chapters broken. Yeah. Not an unusual thing. In 2001, the same as I've been talking so much, I think these hold up today fine. But when you take yourself back to 2001 and you think about the scale, there's a reason they called these the unfilmable books. That the scale and the size and the scope of this was just unbelievable. And look, when we talk about Peter Jackson's achievement, I have no idea how he balanced out seven different, you know, units at a time, sending him stuff and trying to, that balance is incredible.
I'm sure it aged him 30 years or two,
right?
Because
he had the ring. So I think that kept him, but
good one
after, you know, the, what all I remember here,
I don't have
Bo
a sound effect
leaning.
To
I
make
know,
fun
I
of you, but
Bo leaning into his sister and going, "It's part of a trilogy."
Yeah. Know, right.
And whatever, and then just another, "What?" Because no one had explained. And she had been on this ride and she had gotten caught up in it. But the idea that she was going to be coming back for two more years before it was over, she realized that in about 5 seconds.
Sure.
And tried to process that after this 3 hour. And then we're out in the lobby. And I remember being like, I just kept thinking, they still seem a long way from Mount Doom. Like, it's been a long time. How are they going to cover all this space? And I'll never forget that. It just enriched the experience for me. But this takes me back, man. I'm so happy we're watching these. This was my one of two movie theater experiences that stand above everything else to me. And it's
quite
really
a movie
fun
and
really
just
special.
on its face, I don't think I really have any questions, because it's quite an accessible story. I think that that's kind of what I've been focusing on, is how does this land with me without me knowing more about the mythology and reading the books and everything? And do I feel like something's lacking, or do I kind of, I don't know.
Are you thinking wizards are bullshit, or are you just enjoying the ride?
Right. And I think I'm just enjoying the ride. It's extremely well done. And there are some real emotional moments in this movie, and I have been known to get emotional in movies. I wasn't as emotional as everyone else here.
We're all crying.
Everyone is weeping, openly weeping
behind you at Boromir.
But I guess what I'm saying is that I'm crying you know, with you guys, what do you call it, in spirit.
Sure.
Because I,
sure.
I
there's
I
a good it. Energy it's, here today.
It's wonderful. Yeah.
And,
it's,
and it's not just the beer.
or Tom's pie. Not just the beer.
So, last couple thoughts I have, yeah. unless you want to add anything else. Boromir's death to this day to me is yeah. the best cinematic death I've ever seen. I mean, it's like,
it's very good.
This, it's you, redemption. You it's royal. It's me, badass. It's sad. It's everything.
You tried to get me to play this clip on the podcast not long ago because we, or it, this might have been a year ago now, but you showed me this clip. And so I was like having deja vu during the clip, but then I'm like, oh yeah, Patrick, yeah. show me this clip. We were trying, I think we were trying to find a Sean Bean death clip.
Sure. That's the one.
And I don't even know that we landed on one. We probably played something else. But, well, oh my, no, no, we probably played Goldeneye.
Yeah,
I
think
know.
We did. But my friend,
that's more fun.
My friend Maxwell did yeah. spoiler alert for anybody, or if you just don't want the movies ruined to you, I understand. But my friend Maxwell did ruin that death for, in a way
yeah.
for me, as soon as these came out on DVD, because he was the one who leaned into me and I did this when we were watching, but
yeah.
leaned into me right when that third arrow hits and said, three darts is too much with the Ace Ventura reference. And now no matter what, even though it still hit strikes
hilarious.
A chord, it's the same thing for me. Every
hilarious.
Time. The other thing, I was going to save this kind of for the end, but I love all of these movies. I think they work as one movie. I like to think of them as one
sure.
giant film. But if you did ask me and you split them up, Fellowship is my favorite. I think I'm going to be interested to hear what you think, but
yeah.
I think the highs and the lows of the next two are higher and lower.
Okay.
But I think steady all the way through beat for beat without
yeah.
slowing down. This is the one to me that just is consistently incredible.
I can see that.
So
see
that's
that.
I'll just kind of leave you with that thought.
Yeah,
there's been so much fun. I
think
can't
we should
dive into
we
the
should
next
move
one.
On. We're gonna see yeah. you in a few seconds for talking about Two Towers. But for us, that's gonna be a second breakfast and then 3 more hours.
We'll talk soon, yeah. Kelly. I'm glad you're with me.
It's the ring. You can't take your eyes off it. I've seen you. You're not eating. You barely sleep. It's taking a hold of you, Mr. Frodo. You have to fight it.
I know what I have to do, Sam. The ring was entrusted to me. It's my task. Mine. My own.
All right. We're back.
The battle for Helm's Deep is over, Kelly.
That movie, it's just weird because I saw that in theaters.
Yes.
Without seeing the first or the third one. And I saw it with my stepbrothers, and I remembered virtually none of it. But it, so the TV
hey,
song.
The music, yeah, the theme song.
But, ultimately, like, it, little bits of it, you know, came back to me.
Yeah.
And
it was an unforgivable move by you to go to the second installment of a single movie split into three.
I was, what year did this come out?
That's neither here nor there.
04?
2002.
Two? 01, 02, 03. Okay, I believe
yeah.
you.
1, 2, 3. Easy to remember.
So, I mean, I was 14. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't.
You were
yeah,
an idiot
know.
Back then. Not like now.
I guess my point is that having seen it before
sure.
kind of does color it a little
sure,
bit.
Yeah.
Like you said in the previous few minutes, like it's definitely a higher highs and lower lows movie.
Yeah,
there's definitely agreed. A lot of like new CG characters that are a little bit tougher.
Sure.
For me, because the CG, even today, and even especially today, is it's kind of enough to take you out of it a little bit.
Sure.
It and dates. We talk about
it
that all
itself.
The time. Yeah. So this one had a little bit more of that. So I was a little bit more predisposed to like tune out some of those characters and the seriousness. But again, with the anything practical, it's really, really satisfying.
I think the large
and
scale battle stuff with,
yeah.
holds up really well too. It's
virtually
when
the entire battle is
yeah.
real looking. Like they didn't. Right. There's not a lot of CG in that battle.
The Helm's Deep yeah. battle. We've talked about this before with the scale and the scope. But again,
yeah.
comes out. It's like nothing you've ever seen before. It's unbelievable.
Sure.
I left this one thinking, "Wow, that was better than." The first one, like I can't believe they did better than the first one.
When I you saw this originally,
came down a little bit. Yeah,
yeah right.
I was like, no, I think they're both, you know, about the same.
It's but, probably like the Spectre,
a little. Well, I mean,
vibes.
Like
yeah.
you said, like I said, the highs and the, I mean, the charge
it's,
for Helm's Deep.
It's the second act
Sam,
of a three act.
Yeah.
It's the trappings of a second act of any story.
But there's a lot of yeah. moments that are so good.
Sure.
In that,
sure.
and I love them all. And the speech by Sam there at the end is
Yeah.
You know, it's perfect.
For me, so. I think that the first one was really very, I don't know what the words are, but like wholesome, but also extremely comforting because of the group nature of it. And obviously sure. that's the whole point of this story is they all get separated and everything. But I just think from a pure satisfaction standpoint, that first one is, I can't imagine the third one, well, you know, beating that first one in terms sure. of the satisfaction of them all being together and working together and kind of finding their way and finding love for each other and all of that. So
the other thing is, and I love that we're doing this, but marathoning it this way, also your fatigue
yes.
is at the highest.
Is a part of it. Yeah.
For Whereas sure. if yeah. you're going for each release and you're waiting yes. a year between and yes. you're excited for them, you that's also the different.
Excitement. Yeah. Well, that's very fair. And the amount of food and drink doesn't help either because I definitely was falling asleep.
Well, to that point though. So, these came out at Christmas time. I was a freshman in college when this one came out.
Right.
With Two mm-hmm. Towers. So I was waiting to see it with my family when I got home for Christmas. And my roommate in college, who was a fan of this as well, called me after he had seen it because he saw it at, like, I think at night before me.
Sure.
And said, Gollum is the most unbelievable thing I've ever seen.
Really? Okay.
Because again, at the time, so that was like, the common I would
interpretation
see,
of yeah, that.
Okay, a CG yeah. character that looked like this. You got to remember,
yeah.
7 years, five, 6 years before, we had the lizard from Mortal Kombat. As a CG character. Yes. So anyway.
I don't even add Gollum in the category of like the less than great CG in the sure. movie. Like that's kind of a separate thing. That's a total pass for me. It's more like the dogs, the big wolf dogs,
the warg riders.
And the dragons, you know, and that, or whatever they are. You know, flying animals.
Sure.
I get a bunch
sure.
of people shaking
the
Naz, at me.
The Nazgul. Yeah, yeah. Got it.
Anyway,
Smaug is the only dragon we really see in this trilogy,
story. Yeah, but, okay.
Or in the, I guess, yeah, Hobbit. Right. But anyway, yeah. So we're two-thirds in.
Yeah.
We obviously have the grand conclusion coming up. We have the longest of the three.
Yes, 3 hours, 20 minutes is the short version.
And this won't matter to you because you haven't read the stories, but in my opinion, and this may be my subjective view of this,
yeah.
I think the most changes, the most we're going to alter this, you know, to make it fit or to make it work,
uh-huh.
happen in this one.
Okay.
Which bothered me at the
changes
time.
Changes from the book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think it bothers me anymore.
Yeah.
But I do think they're the most kind of, it's maybe not this straight line. You know, following the book, it's more kind of weaving and zigzagging a little bit.
Sure.
Now, that doesn't make it bad. It's just this one, I think, takes the most liberties in that regard.
I'm excited to see a conclusion just because, again, as with all stories, that third act really brings it home. And sure. I think I'll have a much better kind of feeling for everything.
Well, we're two movies in and you haven't gotten one ending yet, but you're going to get four or five endings.
Oh, is that
so,
right?
Yeah. Okay. It gains interest.
It's one of those.
Yeah. The thing is there's interest added on, as you move along. So
interesting.
Trust me, there's going to be plenty of wrap up. For you.
Well, I wish I had more thoughts or questions, but I'm just kind of in that middle period.
We could take some calls. Should we go to the
The phone bank is lighting up. There's every single line.
We are getting some hits on the old Instagram. So people are excited. People are excited.
We put out a post and definitely follow us on the social media.
Yeah. Literally dozens of people are
literally.
In.
Yeah. Twos and threes of, I don't know what that is. I don't have anything else, but I think we're going to try to watch this one outside. It's not dark yet.
That'll
so we're
going
to take a little break and finish this one outside by the fire. That's it. You got anything else for us?
No, I can't wait.
We'll
can't
see
wait.
You in a few minutes after Return of the King.
It's gone. It's done. Yes, Mr. Frodo. It's over now.
Here we are.
Kelly, we did it.
We just finished Return of the King. Return of the King.
We
joined a king.
I got to say, I'm a little bit sad. It's over.
I get it. We had a great day. And
the best day.
I have lots of thoughts. And I really avoided like taking notes through these movies.
Sure. Yeah.
Just because I was trying to just experience it, right? But traditionally, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. It's been a long day.
Traditionally, I would be taking notes when I see movies, when sure. I come out of the theater and things like that, because it's the only way that I can kind of gather my thoughts.
Sure.
But I will say that I quite loved this one.
Yeah. I like to hear it.
In retrospect, it's hard for me to gauge how much of that is the kind of the lull in the middle, both like story wise and our energy wise, sure. and like lots of different factors, sure. right?
We changed locations.
We did. We came outside and you know, made a fire, and we watched this in high definition, gross. With only 2-channel stereo sound. Ugh. Well, but
not to derail you on Return of the King.
No, go ahead.
I'd yep. love to hear your thoughts, yep. but I'm most interested in your sort of immediate take on the entire trilogy / mega movie.
Sure. Thank you. Yeah. Keep me on track here. How this is helpful.
What are you thinking? What's going on in your head and what's going on in your heart right now?
I got it. There's a really, really satisfying, extremely long kind of form story here. And obviously I haven't even seen the extended versions
sure.
or read the books or anything.
But next weekend.
Saturday and Sunday,
yeah.
hopefully.
Yeah.
No, but I think you know from experience with me that when I see something that is an epic, that is a really well-told, long-form
yes.
story, it's very satisfying to me. Sure. And this obviously was made into movies, but nowadays this would be a series, like you've said. And
right.
A 9-hour series or the first season of a series or a limited series of this length is not that's pretty normal.
Sure, sure.
And I thought it was really, really an excellent, epic story. And
this is the best day ever. Keep going.
Yeah, yeah. I think the bigger thing is that when I went into these, a lot of the tropes that made up kind of a medieval fantasy tale to me.
Sure.
I thought we're going to be a little bit more highlighted.
Sure.
And they're just not. You know, it's a story about people, and that's kind of it. And that's my favorite kind of story.
Yeah. And this is a common thing that's discussed. I mean, you know, this might be the most famous fantasy story of all time.
Yeah.
Probably is, at least for the modern fantasy, 20th century and on.
Sure.
But it's very much grounded and told like a history.
Right.
That's how Tolkien intended it.
Like factual.
Yeah. They tell yeah. it as if it is prehistory. It's
matter of
the world.
Fact. Yeah. Right.
So, I mean, obviously there's magic and things, but I did think that
it's
that
so
would.
So secondary,
that would,
though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Work pretty well for you.
Yeah. So, I knew that you knew that the whole time. But, you know, I think the real kind of magic here to me is the filmmaking aspect of these movies,
sure.
which you've said you'll just appreciate the quality of them. The first one, but especially the third one, for some reason stood out to me as being just magnificent. And that's really, like you've said, that the Oscars that were given to Return of the King were kind of honorary at that point
for the whole thing.
But I don't agree with that. I think that I think that Two Towers, I'd love to know more about the making of and what Peter Jackson had to go through during Two Towers, because he obviously made these back to back to back. But
sure.
What's interesting to me is that Return of the King feels the most, it feels the most big, but it also feels the most well made of the three. And it really comes down to, like, when did they use CGI and for what?
Mm-hmm.
And then all of the other elements of the movie, whether it be just dialogue scenes or I don't know, it just felt tighter and more realized. And when I look back at the three today, I feel like Two Towers is like, it has the vibe, the same vibe of how people talk about how Zemeckis had to overlap a lot when he made Back to the Future 2 and 3, and that therefore he couldn't kind of give either of them, you know, a fair shake. He's editing 2 while he's filming 3.
Sure.
And it feels to me almost like Two Towers suffers from some of that. And I obviously, I don't know chronology wise why that would be, but I'm just saying that it feels to me like he was like under maybe too many deadlines or something, and lack of money after one but before three or something like that, and it led to kind of a lot of things being just done 80% instead of 100%. But that's not to say that Two Towers isn't also, you know, really an achievement, but I don't know, that just how it struck
they're
me.
they're all yeah. that's obviously all very fair. They're all very even to me.
Yeah,
they're about as even as a trilogy can be. I've talked about how Star Wars totally to me fair. Feels
yeah.
all very even. 10 out of 10 10 out of 10 10
sure.
out of 10. That said, you know, not to take anything away from Return of the King, but it's sort of with me saying, yeah, they were holding the awards and awarded everything at the end. I mean, that's sort of, they're kind of on the record saying we're not going to give these the awards 3 years in a row. So I know at least some of that, you know what I mean?
It's yeah, there's like some reality
we're gonna
there.
Pick one.
Sure.
Yep. But that's interesting to hear. And I'm actually really happy that you, you know what I mean? That you really enjoyed this last one. Cause I was worried about the fatigue. It is a long day. You know what I mean? And I was worried like, okay, hopefully we'll be good and it won't just feel by the end, okay, let's just get done with it.
I kind of just trust my gut, and I feel sure. like even though there's fatigue, the third one, I was pretty engrossed. You know sure. what I mean? Like, it didn't wane.
It is the concluding chapter. It's where the proverbial
story-wise, you know, that's where the beats are that are really hits. Meaty. So hits, the, in the first one and the third one, and so I
sure
yeah.
sure. Well, they're all great, and I'm glad you enjoyed them. If you're, you know, again, a fan of the books, you're coming at it a little different perspective than if
sure,
you're coming in fresh. I know that. I think to me, as I said before, I think Return probably takes the most liberties.
I
think they're fine, all the choices, but there are more, I think, kind of diversions into something other than what the book gave you. But that's all really interesting, man. Mostly I'm just really excited that you enjoyed it and, you know, and appreciate it. And the good news is you were wondering what Peter Jackson went through. There's approximately 100 hours of, on the extended editions that I have, of, basically film school of them behind the scenes and everything, and him talking about this. And he does talk about how, you know, the threads of pulling that opening, and, you know, where we'd present everything for the first time and the conclusion, and trying to pull those together in that middle section, and what that's like. And it is a challenge. So,
well, presumably I have these on some of that content on these discs that I have, the 4K.
Or you can just jump
discs,
on YouTube and again, watch for 100 hours. So.
It's very interesting to me. And Peter Jackson is very, very interesting to me, even though he doesn't make always great movies.
I think
even
this will always be his crowning achievement. I think that's safe to say.
Yeah, absolutely. But I mean, from a craft standpoint, there's no question that he cares about all of it as much as any director alive.
And I mean, he truly for a fantasy book, again, that people talk about as kind of giving rise to everything that's come afterwards in terms of we kind of define fantasy in a very Lord of the Rings way. Everything post Lord of the Rings.
Sure.
And for a book that was so well, I think the second most read set of books of fiction books
far
as anything ever printed. So I mean it's widespread, people have seen it, but for so many people to know the books and know the stories, you know, Peter Jackson is now kind of synonymous with, you know, Tolkien in a way, and bringing the stories to so many people who maybe read the books and still like the movies or didn't read the books at all. So
yeah,
I think that's a kind of an incredible thing. This was so much fun for me, man.
We had a really
I'm
good
so
day.
Glad that you gave me this birthday present, and I genuinely, really, I'm genuinely, thank you for,
you're so welcome
on the journey. It was,
well,
it was
thank you again to our friends, Tom and Nick, and of course my girlfriend, Lori, for cooking so much of the day and, just kind of taking care of all of us because we're a bunch of dumb boys. But we really did have an epic movie watching day.
Yeah. And the day is over, but this fellowship will be bound for eternity by love and friendship, no matter what happens.
Two of us are leaving on a plane and two of us are staying here, but
on a jet plane, which
sort
is
of
a whole
similar,
other Liv Tyler type of thing.
Yes, right.
Anyway, well, this has been so much fun, man. This has been great. This has been epic, I think is the word. You already said it. So,
and if you have any thoughts on these movies and our take on them or anything else you think is relevant, write into us.
Yeah. I was corrected in real time from listener feedback today as far as the end of Fellowship.
From our friends that are here,
yeah, so please let us know where we screwed up and where we were great.
Send in an email. Go to moviesandshit.com and all our links are there.
The lines are open.
And we'll see you soon for a regular episode, probably after the holidays.
Merry Christmas.
Thanks.
And Happy New Year, everybody.
My friends. You bow to no one.